What's happening?
Chimney falls and lovers blaze. Thought that I was young. Now I've freezing hands and bloodless veins. As numb as I've become, I'm so tired. I wish I was the moon tonight.
You're listening to League Podcast, episode 268. I'm Matt Durson.
Clay Inferno.
How's it going, Clay? Just you and me today, huh?
Just us.
We could talk about comics without those two other lunkheads who don't even read comics.
I made sure I did my homework last night. Did my reading. I fell asleep. Stacy came home and she's like, "You're gonna drool all over your comic books." I like, fell asleep reading them.
They won't be in excellent condition if you do that.
And then I realized, I didn't send you my codes like I usually do.
I know. I was wondering about that. I was like, did he not go? There was a lot of
I forgot
a lot of shit this week. I spent a lot of money.
I forgot.
So I sent them to you. I should have reminded you. I'm sorry.
You don't need to remind.
Sell as well.
You don't need to. I shouldn't need to remind her.
Well, still, they don't sell as they sell better on Wednesday. You know.
Yeah.
Wednesday. Boom, boom, boom. New, new comic day.
Hey, it slipped my mind.
I'm sorry.
I'm not perfect. You don't need to apologize to me.
Sorry, what?
Yeah, see? Stop it. Stop apologizing to me. You have not offended me in any way.
All right. I told the guy who works at my New England Comics Prime about the excellent condition. We were just talking about that somehow, like comics and because somebody asked him, or something like that. What condition is this in, or something like that? I said, whenever I sell stuff online, I just say excellent condition. And because then you don't have to worry about like mint, near mint, blah, 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 all that.
Excellent
stuff.
Condition. Covers
it's excellent. It's excellent. And I know it sounds like a cop out, but really, I'm just trying to avoid that awkward, like, you said this was near mint. You know what I mean? Like, if it's a comic that like is old and people are buying it, because they want like an old,
like a wall book.
Yeah. If it's like a wall book, I won't.
You want to give them the.
Yeah, I want to be accurate on that.
Is that what it is still? Overstreet price guide?
Yeah, actually, that was the interesting thing. He told me that Overstreet, I think it's a video or something he put online, or they put online, that actually showed why they would knock a comic down. Like, instead of just saying, well, this is near mint, but they actually had pictures and visuals on why.
Like, what if you. Okay, so there's a fresh comic on the shelf. And just like getting to the good bread in that George Carlin commercial, not commercial, but like, the George Carlin is like,
I love Carlin.
Yeah. He's like, do you ever, you open up the bag of bread and you stick your hand in and you skip past the first couple of pieces of bread to get to the good bread?
I do that all the time.
let my family eat this bread. I want them. I'm looking up for numero uno.
Hey, my theory too. I never take the top comic on off the shelf.
Yeah,
when I'm buying new comics,
you're a germaphobe.
I always go at least two in, but sometimes I go like all the way. And I've actually, sometimes you pull out one and some kind of weird variant cover. I'm like, no, I don't want that one. But so, I never take the one in front. Never ever. That's ridiculous.
So what happens? Okay, you pull it out, right? And then you like on the crease on the side where the staples are, you like. Squish it so that you just like made like a little dent in the side of it. Do you think that knocks it down from being fresh in the store?
I think that does like knock it down from excellent condition. I don't know what Overstreet would say either.
By the time you get it home, it's been in your bag or like whatever.
Oh yeah, I know. Sometimes like the corners do get a little like. If it's enough that I think someone will, and I want to sell that book on eBay or something, I'll take a picture of that corner and just be like, that's a little, I just want to be as transparent as possible. But like, I don't want to get into the nitty gritty of all that shit,
It's not like you're, we're not dealing in like $10,000 books.
No, And I'm not trying to screw anybody either by saying excellent condition. I just think it was a funny thing to say. And like, it works. I mean, people hardly ever complain.
Do they complain, though? Do they?
Well, not to me, like, in, you know, to say, hey, I want to refund this book because this book sucks. Whatever. Yeah, no, I'm not out to screw anybody when I sell a book on eBay, but I just like to not get into it. But I'm not trying to screw anybody either.
Sure, but you aren't.
No, I wouldn't do that. That's because I've been screwed and I don't want to screw anybody else.
And your eBay rating is very high.
I'm almost at 1900. I'm pretty good.
That's why I have, you're my guy. You're my eBay guy. You deal with all the eBay stuff.
I'm happy to do that. I sold that drone.
I love it. I love doing it. I'm weird.
I get a kick out of it. It's weird.
It is weird.
You know, John likes to build models. I like to sell stuff on eBay.
Nice headlights on both you guys.
Oh, that. Hey, not just eBay. I sold that drone. Should I talk about this?
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
So I had a drone. I gave it to you, and we were having trouble unloading it.
Yeah. Well, it was big. I didn't know how to ship it. You know, it was like big.
You just fly it there.
That's right. I should have done that. Where are you? So, anyways, I sold it on
tape. A little thank you note to it.
Yeah. but I sold it on Craigslist. A little less than what I would have probably if I sold it on eBay, but I was glad to finally unload that. So,
yeah, it was becoming a burden.
Thanks to you.
The drone albatross.
It was. It was a drone albatross.
Wait, but it was a drone carrying an albatross.
How much can a drone carry, do you think, anyway? Probably not that much.
Yeah, I don't think you can. Oh, that one I think was designed to attach like a camera or an iPod or like a GoPro to it. Like a
GoPro,
yeah. Some kid is going to have fun with that.
I'm sure that some kid is having fun with it right now. Yeah, so I got rid of that. Thank God.
Yeah, get it out of here.
Yeah. So most of your stuff was sold. Anything that could be sold, I guess.
Nice.
Some of that stuff is not going to...
Garbage! But you don't know one man's trash, another man's treasure. You know?
That's right.
Like, try to sell this. If you can't, so what? The dog's looking one way, this dog's looking the other way, so what?
Yeah. And this one says, what do you want with me?
So what?
Looks like someone we know. I love that scene. I love Joe Pesci's mom in that scene.
Oh, it's the best.
He's so funny. Anyways, so what's going on? Let's talk some.
Settle
comments.
Down with a nice girl. I have a nice girl.
I settle down with a nice girl every night. it's funny. And then meanwhile, they have this guy in the trunk that they.
He's like, boom, boom, boom. He's
like, Billy Bats. Billy Bats. I say that to my friend Paul sometimes at work. I maybe told you that, but sometimes you just go like, go home and get your fucking shine box. Just say that to each other.
Why not? Goodfellas quotes are the best.
Yeah, it's a good one. And that's one of my favorite movies.
Those guys, the iFanboy guys, they just finished their Goodfellas Minute podcast.
Really?
The whole thing, but they did a podcast minute by minute of Goodfellas all the way through.
Wow.
Now they're done. It's pretty fun. Because they do a lot of research.
They
researched all the like locations and like this actor that was in the background was like also in Terminator. Like they just have like all these facts and stuff. It's pretty fun.
Oh, nice. Maybe I'll check that out.
They probably don't want to watch Goodfellas for a long time. Yeah, so they kind of ruined it for themselves, but it still was fun.
Yeah. It might have ruined it. All right. Yeah, let's we got some new stuff this
week.
What's
at the top of the stack? Pew, pew.
I don't know. Top of the stack. I don't know.
Mad Dog in Durso. Looking for the top of the stack.
I don't know. Sometimes it's good to start with the number one. You know what I'm saying?
C-3PO?
No, I didn't buy C-3PO.
You didn't?
We can talk about that. I didn't actually. I looked through it. The art looked kind of bad.
Oh, he's the best.
I'm sorry. Ugh. It was like $5, you know? Ugh. All right, well, talk about it. This is the story of the Red Arm.
Want to know the story of the Red Arm?
I guess not.
Well, I like this creative team, even though you didn't like the art. Just Tony Harris and James Robinson, who did Starman, for so long, and also did a lot of Justice Society comic books at DC that I liked a lot. So I liked. I was looking forward to this, anyways.
And, oh, I can't believe it! I screwed up.
How did you screw up?
I didn't buy C-3PO.
Well, I'll tell you, C-3PO is like it's in between. You know, this happens like before The Force Awakens, so he's off like on a little droid adventure with all these droids. So all the main characters in this are different droids, like the one with the old 50s style microphone mouth, like the medical droid, you know?
Yeah, I love that guy.
Kind of a 3PO looking kind of unit, and then kind of like a droid that they had in Force Awakens, but no no astromech, no like R2-D2s.
No R2 unit. Oh, okay.
But they're basically, and one of the other droids is like a prisoner of the good guy droids, and he's like a bad guy droid, and they need to get him to the rebellion to, you know, so that they can take data from him or whatever.
Oh, okay.
So it's pretty cool. So they get stranded on, like, this is actually reminded me kind of like a Star Trek story. They get like stuck on a planet, and then the inhabitants of the planet are these giant spiders.
Oh,
maybe I'm thinking of that because that was the comic that John drew.
Yeah, the mission's end.
but yeah, the giant spiders. So the droids have to face off with the giant spiders. Fast forward to the end. C-3PO has a red arm, and that's it. It's just one shot.
Fast forward to the end? What do you mean? How did he get the red arm?
Well, I don't want to spoil it. I want people to read it. It's good.
No, I thought we were here to talk about these things.
Well, he befriends...
Spoiler warning, people.
Spoiler warning. So there's like the bad guy droid, but C-3PO obviously is like... It's all exposition with... here we are on the planet. I'm C-3PO. And you... I forget the droid's name that's like the bad guy. He's like, you are the prisoner. So we must keep an eye on you. But for right now, we all have to pool our resources and, you know.
Fight off these giant spiders.
Fight off the giant spiders. Like, you, even though you're a bad droid, you need to be on our team so that we can all survive together. You know, that kind of thing.
Right.
So... O-M-R-I. Omri.
All right.
Is the name of that droid.
Okay.
And, so he's a bad guy droid. And they get into like a predicament at the end where basically Omri, the bad guy droid, has to sacrifice himself. And in a way, like, sacrifice himself to the giant spiders. But and in that, like, C-3PO has already lost an arm, so he takes the bad guy's droid arm.
Oh, okay.
Because he's now become friends with him, and that bad guy droid has sacrificed himself and shown that he had even though they were enemies, like, he sacrificed himself for the greater droid good, or like whatever it is.
The greater droid good. So C-3PO is like, you will live on.
Yeah, I will honor you by wearing your red arm.
But here's and at the very end of Force Awakens, C-3PO has a golden arm.
That's because he was like, "Oh, I would love to tell you someday about my red arm."
But then he's like, "Yeah, thanks for the sacrifice, buddy, but I'm gonna go back to gold."
I think he was like planning on replacing it eventually, you know.
Yeah, you know, why not?
Does he
get born forever?
In Force Awakens, does he also have a silver leg?
I don't know. It's a good question. I don't think I ever looked at that. Huh. I'll have to go to the videotape.
But anyways, I did enjoy this. It was short, and it was like C-3PO. Like when you're reading C-3PO, all you could think of is Anthony Daniels speaking the dialogue, you know?
Well, yeah. No one else has ever done C-3PO.
Yeah.
And that's pretty awesome.
And like a lot of times, like, the other droids, like the medical droid, the one with the like Elvis microphone mouth, he's like, "Would you shut up?" You know what I mean? He's like, "Yes, we've heard about that already." Yes.
Those protocol droids, they talk a lot.
And then there's this other droid, actually, that's like more what you would expect. He can talk, but all he says is, he's kind of like a Groot. He just says, construction droid, construction class 5, S-O-3-4. Like, that's all he says. So when he's getting attacked by the spiders, he's like, construction droid, construction class 5. Kind of like the Gonk or whatever of this story. So.
Gonk. Yeah.
So very well. So that's, I like
that. All right. I'm sorry I didn't buy that. C-3PO number one.
I can, you know what? I obviously don't agree with you, but I will defend your right to say it. This guy, Tony Harris's art, I can see why. I know why you don't like it. It looks a little muddy, looks a little dark.
Yeah, it just wasn't my style. It's not.
It doesn't look very Star Wars. It doesn't look like the Darth Vader book or the Star Wars book. You know, it's definitely like I understand why you don't like it, and I know why you didn't pick it up if you like flip through it. I definitely tell.
You know what's funny? It's sometimes I'll just grab something and it doesn't matter, and I don't look in it. And this one, I was like, well, let me just flip through. And I was like, oh, I don't know if I could read this book. It looks a little...
I could see if you, like, want to, like, have your Star Wars book look all slick and stuff. Especially with the droid story. You don't want it to be, like, look...
Right. If it was, like, Han Solo, which is coming soon, by the way.
I don't know.
We know that. We haven't talked about it, I guess. But R3 Lou will be taking the reins on that one. So that'll
monstrous
be...
fame. Yeah. And Black Widow. I just read her Black Widow stuff.
She's, I'm excited about that. So that one, I'm just going to pick up, not even flip through it.
Don't but even.
Since this is two, it's like a one shot, you know what I mean? Sometimes it's just maybe not.
Really need to read it. But the only thing about the Star Wars books is that they're canon.
Oh,
man, do they blow that load with that Chewbacca thing. Wow.
What?
That book was, what a piece, is it, to put it in your words. What a piece.
That's right. It is a piece. Those are your words. I took that from you, I think. Didn't I?
Maybe.
Maybe I did. Whatever. It's a thing. It's a saying. Yeah, that book wasn't great. I bought all 5 of them, and I was like, wow.
And it was all like Phil Noto art, right? So
yeah.
Much like the Poe Dameron argument you had last week. Just because it's Phil Noto doesn't mean...
Yeah, it was surprisingly bad. Well, like I said, it's Black Widow of Offs. Awesome. This, I was like, meh. I don't know.
It's all about the writer with him.
I guess so.
Because his art's amazing. I mean, he did draw an awesome Chewbacca.
I know. I think the problem with that is it's not like Groot where you can't, you know what I mean? He's still funny even though he doesn't speak. Yeah. I don't know. There's something about Chewbacca not speaking. And plus, none of the other characters, I get it. It's the Chewbacca solo thing. But when you introduce these other characters that we don't know, we don't really care about, it can sometimes be a little like, meh, I'm not into it.
May as well just call it Cash Grab Baca.
Yeah, right, exactly. Cash Grab Baca.
Which was not an easy thing to say. It took me twice.
So. You got it, though.
I thought about it.
You got it.
And then when it got to my mouth, it just got all messed up.
Yeah, that is kind of, it's Disney, so. All right. Well, what else? There was the other number one that
you
we
go. You go for it. You go.
Well, let's talk about. Do you want to talk about Moon Knight number one?
I do. I didn't know if you were going to get that. I'm excited that you did.
I'm excited. I did too. Actually, I was on the fence a little bit, but I thought, well, why not? Because I'm not a huge Jeff Lemire fan.
Neither am I.
Well, there you go. But I got it, and I don't know. It's weird. I have this weird thing about Moon Knight. He can be okay. Like going back to that. It was like what the hell is his name? The guy who wrote The Moon Knight like a while ago, and it was Brian Hitch art, I think. It was really good for a little while. And then Bendis had a...
The Warren Ellis one, or what?
No. That one was good, too. That was good, too. Yes, thank you. I forgot about that one. No, I'm going like back like...
Oh, a long time.
Years and years. Yeah. Whatever. I don't remember it. Oh, I'm an idiot. I can't believe it. I'm so bad at... names. But it was like one of those things where he was like a novelist who wrote Moon Knight for a while. It was pretty good. Anyway. So anyway, ever since then, I was like, yeah, okay, Moon Knight. Moon Knight's all right. He's a crazy guy who's, you know, a hero. Plus, yeah, back way back in the day, like, and I'm talking like when I was a little kid, he was in West Coast Avengers.
Right.
And I thought that was all right, too. So anyway, but now he's in, like, an insane asylum. And he's got these bastard orderlies who, like, beat him up all the time. It's not too good.
But is, I mean, it's like the classic, like, I was actually going to say, I'm not, they do this a lot where it's almost become like a comic book trope where it's like, I'm in the insane asylum and is what I see real, and or is it like, or is it right. not? You know, like,
what is the reality and yeah. what is the, yeah.
And I'm not going to say I don't like that. Like, I really liked it in here, but I kind of think it just reminded me of all the times I've seen it.
Yeah, before. It is kind of a trope, I think.
And I don't know if they do that in like TV shows and stuff too, and I've just kind of like noticed it, you know. But
yeah, like, well, what is real and what is like,
I'm not complaining about this book. I thought it was really cool, but I just did note that, like, I knew what device he was using to tell a story.
Yeah, and it was kind of funny because by the time I got like, geez, I hope this is real because it's not going to be a very long series if, like, they just find out that he's just a crazy person.
Yeah.
But it's interesting, though, because he has this therapist, too, and they're like, no, you got to stop doing this. You're not Moon Knight, you know? Like. But meanwhile, he's talking to the Egyptian god of the moon, Khonshu, which I always thought was a funny name anyway. Shoe, like a shoe, you know, like you put a foot on your foot, but whatever. Khonshu talks to him and he's like, you know what's real. And he's like, yeah, it's always like a Fight Club thing or something, I guess. It's like,
yeah, Fight Club. Very, that's exactly it. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, he's talking to this god, but he's like, and he's like, why don't you just, like, why do I have to go through all this?
Yeah.
You know what's real, Mark Spector. And he's well, like, that, oh, come on.
That actually I thought was a clever way to have a new number one after Secret Wars, because who knows where Moon Knight was during Secret Wars or afterwards, but it's like, well, I think he says something in the first couple pages. It's like, you have to resolve all of the past, because it all did happen and will happen again, or something to that effect, you know, like, yeah, all of that stuff is real. Khonshu is basically like saying like, all that stuff happened.
Right.
But what's happening now?
Yeah. Because I was thinking that almost I'm like reading this. I'm like, well, I mean, Moon Knight's been around for like decades, you know, like, so, but it's interesting, 'cause you have to think about it in his mind. Like, did he just imagine all that stuff, or not imagine it, but you know what I mean? Like, created out of his addled mind,
which is cool if Lemire wants to go back to, like, even like, I don't know, like, in, I hope they would do this too, like, go back to like 80s like West Coast Avengers, or like, do you remember when he had the 80s, he had his own book too, right?
Yeah,
I remember buying those.
Yeah, I bought a few of those.
I remember like buying it, like, but I didn't know anything about really Marvel comics or comic books really at all. Like, I was just like, I'd go to the spinner rack and be like, ooh, let's try that, and be like, I heard he's kind of like Marvel's Batman.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, exactly. Did you go to Mayette's or whatever they call that place?
No, there? I went to the, sorry, old everybody, it's not from Abington.
I
went to the convenience store across the street from Bemis.
Yeah, Old Town News or whatever, or Owens. It was Owens first.
Yeah.
And we used to go there.
So that's where I'd go, and that's where I bought my first comic book with my own money, which was G.I. Joe 48.
Wow.
And then I also, like, I wanted them to give me a free copy of the issue 110 where my letter was printed in it, but they were not impressed.
Well, but you were, like, in high school by then.
Yeah. No, I know, but I wanted to be like, hey, look, here's my letters, and, you know. But I guess, you know, like,
I know,
somebody like true. Gets their letter in the paper, you still have to pay for it.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, look, you know, they wrote my op-ed piece on medical devices, and, you know, page 12. You just be like, okay, 50 cents.
medical device. No, it was a good try, I guess. Like, hey, look, my letter's in here.
No, I didn't know what to feel. I didn't know what to do.
It was probably a dollar, right? That or something, right?
Like G.I. Joe.
I don't know. But anyway, the point is we used to shop at the same stores, I guess, for back in the day to buy comics. Yeah, for sure.
That was my comic book source until I realized that I could ride my bike to Brockton, New England Comics.
Yeah, I don't know. I used to go there. I used to go to that crappy place near where Brom lived, Collector's Haven.
Oh, the fat guy?
Well, yeah, I used to make fun of him a lot, but there was a fat guy there as well. But anyway, that was in Whitman, and
not the weird creepy fat guy that was over by the arcade. Do you remember that place?
Yeah, I used to go there. There was a fat guy around there. I don't know if I remember that fat guy.
We just used to call him the fat guy because he was like. And he would sell us stink bombs, and he was, like, such a creep. And then, like, years later, he, like, was running, like, living out of his car.
Oh. Shit, this is probably my dad. I don't remember that. I wish I knew, because I would have loved to have bought stink bombs from him, but,
Have, like, current good comics or anything. He just had, like, old Archies and shit, you know.
Oh, man.
He had, like, what I like to call barbershop comics.
Barbershop comics.
Archies with the covers ripped off, you know?
I probably did. I remember I used to go to Dave Nisby's barbershop when I was a kid. And he had, like, one Superman comic that I would read, like, every time I went to get a haircut. Yeah. That's it. But I remember the first time I think I saw Moon Knight, he was in a Spider-Man, like, you know, Marvel team-up.
Spider-Man?
Back in the 80s.
Oh, yeah, those team-ups were the best.
That was pretty cool. I guess in retrospect, when you think about it, it was a good way to introduce people like me to characters like Moon Knight,
which
I didn't ordinarily know.
And Iceman and Archangel.
You would just, it would sometimes be totally random. And then sometimes you'd be like, Iron Man. You're like, well, all right, I already read Iron Man, but like... Yeah, Moon Knight. And they were just, yeah. So, good job, Marvel.
I'm going to stick with this one.
Yeah, I think I'm going to marry this one.
Cool cover and everything. It was, I debated picking it up as well. I was like, you know what? I'll give it a shot.
Right. Worst comes to worst. You put it up on eBay for excellent condition and that's it.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you one thing that was real, though. Those guys... They were shitheads. Like, they would just literally beat him up. And, like, drug him, like, all the time.
This kind of almost has a little bit of a Hawkeye vibe to it.
Yeah, maybe. Not quite as funny, probably. Yeah. Hawkeye was pretty funny. I don't know if it'll be as amusing, but...
Yeah.
Jeff Lemire does write Hawkeye, so maybe that's why.
That's true.
But I don't buy that.
But I mean, like, you know, the Fraction run, you know.
Oh, yeah, so, yeah.
Like the, The tone of it, I guess.
The good Hawkeye.
The good Hawkeye.
You know what else? Speaking of Hawkeye, I want to talk about... I know I talked about it the first one, but I want to talk about his ex-wife, Mockingbird.
All right.
You? I don't know if you're buying that book, but you
no,
should.
No, no.
It's
But excellent. She's in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. this week, which I did buy.
Ah, I see. No, Mockingbird is hilarious. If you want a Hawkeye vibe, you should buy this. It's... funny, it's good, like...
What ish is that?
It's only two, so not that far behind.
Get some time to catch up, then.
Yeah, ish one was really good. Ish two, I think, is even better. It's interesting, because it's sort of like... It's like Hawkeye. It's her as, like, kind of real-life stuff, too, like, where she goes to this therapist or whatever. Like, she actually gets called in by S.H.I.E.L.D. She's required, like... to go and visit like a doctor, you know, like every month or whenever they call her in. And she has this card, like it's like ID card that buzzes and it's time for her to go in. So I don't know. It's pretty awesome.
Is it close to like the TV portrayal?
I don't know. 'Cause I don't watch
that. Oh yeah. You don't watch that.
Yeah. I think it is, because I should watch it, because that Adrian Pilecki.
Hello, nurse.
she's something else. Maybe they'll do a photo cover of Mockingbird.
Oh, yeah.
As her, and then I'll buy that.
That won't stay in excellent condition long.
Oh!
Zip.
What?
Zip. Zippy.
No, that one is. But anyway, yeah, I recommend this book to you, Clay, and to anyone, really, if you like that kind of book. And, you know, she doesn't have powers necessarily, but she's a cool spy lady, you know? So.
Well, considering that I'm not buying Black Widow anymore, I'll check that cool really? Spy lady out so over there. Done?
Two and out for.
I think I'm out. I think I'm out. And then I think I'm out. We talked about this, I think, a little last week, but I might be out except for the Snyder Batman after Rebirth comes out.
Yeah, well, it's
might not be Junior, buying right? any Batman books, which is that's, making me sad.
That's John Romita, though, right? Doing the art on that?
For the first, like, arc. Like, the whole, okay. Yeah, for the Rebirth one, yeah.
I'll buy it for him, but, yeah, I don't know.
And then it's, like, gonna be, like, then it's gonna be, like, they switch art teams. So he'll do Jock, he'll do, you know, like, Yanni Paquette, they'll do, you know, other things. Maybe I'll pick up Detective. I don't know.
Well, we'll see what the creative teams look like there. But, you know what? I think I'm off, and I'm sorry if this offends you, but I gotta.
I'm dropping books left and right. I'm not gonna be offended.
So I read the new Spider-Man. You know, with Miles Morales.
Oh yeah.
I wasn't feeling that one.
Is that this week?
I guess. Was it this week or was it last week? I don't know.
Maybe. Yeah.
So like he had the big. Conflict in this issue is a fight with his grandmother.
Yeah, but that's, I mean, it's always how it is in Ultimate Spider-Man. It's like home life stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I kind of want to see something going on there. You know, like some super villain or something. Like there has to be something going on.
The Ultimate Spider-Man thing is always, it's always about the long arc of it. It's not about, it might not necessarily be about individual issues. I can see why you'd be bored by that one.
I bought three. I mean, this was issue three. I bought the first three. I was okay. I liked the first one a lot, if you remember.
Yes.
And then I liked the second. Yeah, the second one was okay. The third one's not good.
Well, I was about to drop Amazing Spider-Man, and then this one, issue 10, pulled me back in.
Really? Pulled you back in.
Yep.
There were some good lines in this. I just read it this morning.
I had no idea what was going on in the last couple issues. I just couldn't follow the story. Now it's just like, here's bad guy Scorpio. Here's Spider-Man fighting him. Here's what's going on with the spider car. It was like way simpler, you know?
I know. It's true. The last couple issues, I was like, boy, this is like...
His robot.
I'm just not feeling this. You know, there's not a cool villain. And... Yeah, now you know like what's going on, and the villain is actually like a major stockholder in Parker Industries.
Yep,
and he says, "I know everything. I can ruin Peter Parker." You know, Spider-Man's like, well, there is one thing you can't ruin about Peter Parker, and that's his sense of responsibility. Yeah. I'll get you, Scorpio, or whatever. You know, yeah. That kind of stuff. It sounds cooler when.
But I put that down. I was like, oh, that was really good.
Well, that's what Spider-Man should be.
I was like really losing it. I was just sludging through the past couple issues. I was like, wait, what's happening? Who's this? Yeah. Why is he still with the short lady? Like, what's going on? Yeah, like, I didn't know what was going on. But now this one like cleared all my questions up. No,
I agree. The last two were kind of like, well, I don't know about this book
anymore. Yeah, I was so sick of it. I didn't even read them until like I read them a couple issues together.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
I read them together right after another, and I was like, huh.
Yeah, that's a lot. Thanks.
I said
a lot of crappy Spider-Man.
I looked at the comic book and I said thanks, and I threw it on the table. Thanks, just like that.
It's a you're welcome.
You're welcome.
The cover opened up. to speak the words.
And then I'd be like, I was being sarcastic, comic book.
Well, duh. Yeah, no, I mean, I'll stick with it. I like the whole thing. See where it goes. But that's, and who is this person who's breaking out all these old school villains? Do we know who that is?
Oh, do not know.
He's got the Rhino. He broke out the Lizard, and he broke out Electro. And Electro's like, what are you breaking me out for? I got nothing. I'm nothing now. He's like, nah, you got something. Don't worry, Max.
Yeah.
So I don't know who this person is, but it's obviously an old villain that we haven't seen. Well,
maybe, maybe they will assemble the Sinister Six.
Maybe they will.
Maybe he'll be Doc Ock.
Well, Doc Ock is in the robot guy, right?
Is he?
Yes. Yeah. Maybe you weren't really paying attention when you read those last couple issues.
No, I wasn't.
Doc Ock's conscience is in that robot that they use that always goes click whir, click whir. You know that guy? Brain.
Right.
His conscience is in there.
Okay. Whatever.
So I don't know who this guy is, but maybe they will do a Sinister Six type of storyline.
Give me some Venom.
Oh god, Venom. Isn't he out in space or something?
He is out in space. I don't know.
Christ.
Black licorice.
I'm not into Flash Thompson Venom all that much anymore. I bought a few issues and I was like, oh, it's kind of neat. But then I was just like, no, I'm not. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I've never read him in a single story where he was in space.
No, I haven't read any of them either.
It was years ago when even the, like, Cullen Bunn was writing it and I was really into it.
But right.
It was
right.
Like a long time ago.
I remember you being into that.
I was.
Very well.
Not going to lie.
But yeah, now he's like in the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Get out of town.
He's got his own book, Venom Space Knight. It's not too good.
Get out of town with all that.
I'm out of town. I'm out of here. Yeah, so not only did we not marry those, but we didn't even buy them. We didn't even go out on a date.
No. Didn't even wink at him across the room.
I don't even, what else? I feel like, oh, you know what? We never talked about The Fix, which came out last week.
Oh, yeah.
All we did was rip on Batman vs. Superman some more, I think. But this is your boy, Nick Spencer.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
And my boy, Larry Lieber, who I did an interview about The Fix with over at Force and Geek.
Wow. Get on over there then.
So yeah, very good. Very good book.
Yeah, interesting. Very interesting. So like they're cops. They're crooked cops. Seems like.
They're awful people.
Yeah.
It's kind of a Breaking Bad, you know, kind of a Hawkeye, Superior Foes of Spider-Man kind of humor-y kind of thing. It's cool.
It is. It is very humorous, actually. I enjoyed that. Where they rob this house with, like, ski masks and whatever on. And then the guy wears the same, like, Hawaiian shirt, like, as a cop. And the guy's like, what are you doing? Like, it's like you wear the loudest shirt in the world and you wear it the next day
again?
Like, I thought that was pretty funny.
It's good stuff.
Yeah, so that's a good one. It's one of the few Marvel books that I get. Well, I guess that's not true. I buy a few non-Marvel books, but that was very, very well. I liked that one a lot.
They took their whole Superior Foes of Spider-Man vibe and the whole creative team from that, and this is their thing. And they own it, which is always better.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I didn't know. I never read Superior Foes of Spider-Man. But
you would. You'd like it.
Maybe I'll have to go back and check it out a little bit.
Yeah, I think there's just 24 issues or something.
Oh.
Yeah. Spider-Man is not in it at all. He's just in the title, which is the best.
That is pretty funny. No, I like Nick Spencer. I know I joke about him being your boyfriend or all that, but
whatever.
Whatever. I like him too, I have to say.
He's the best. He's great.
Yeah. You're going to have a little competition. I hope you can share.
Oh, yeah.
Share your Nick Spencer.
One of these days, I'll need to go back and read all of Morning Glories, which is a book that he writes. And I've read, like, I don't know, the first 20 issues, but it's like, it's been going on for a while now. So I have to go back and get the trades.
So he still does that?
Yeah.
And he writes all that stuff for Marvel, and now he does the fic. Wow.
Yeah.
Because he still does Ant-Man, right?
Yep.
Damn.
I know.
He's a busy man.
Busy guy.
Good for him. Gotta stay working. Gotta pay the bills.
Good for you.
Good for you.
Yeah, they're up to issue like 50.
Nice.
So I'm behind the times. 10 trade paperbacks. Never read the first three or something.
So. Oh. Yeah, you're pretty far behind.
But I do enjoy it when I do read it.
Excellent. You know what I went, speaking of trade paperbacks, and I killed off the rest of your gift certificate.
Killed it off.
Killed it off. After watching Daredevil.
Oh yeah.
I said I'm gonna go pick up some old Punisher because you said you always liked the Punisher, and I said I never really read the Punisher. So,
what'd you get?
I got the first two volumes of the Garth Ennis Max.
Very good.
Punisher. So I haven't read too much yet. I read the first couple issues, but I'm excited. I was like, why? I should have done this before.
I haven't read that any of the Max stuff either.
Oh. Well,
I was an old school fan of the Punisher, like Punisher War Journal, like Jim Lee kind of stuff. Microchip, Punisher solo series from the 80s. Love that stuff.
Well, Micro is in this one as well.
And they mentioned Micro in the Daredevil. Did you finish the Daredevil?
I did. We finished it. Did you finish it?
Yeah, finished it. Finished it.
Well, yeah, he goes to his house, he punches through that picture, he pulls out like a CD-ROM, and it's got
Micro. I was like, he really hates those guys in his unit. he's getting something from him. I literally thought that. I was like, whoa, you're just so mad he's going to punch that picture.
Well, he did. That guy did kill his family. I mean, so, yeah, but still, yeah. I mean,
but there was the other guy that was his body double for
explosion. Right. That's right. But anyway, yeah, no, I'm excited. Did you watch the? I love that they gave like a teaser for Luke Cage at the end. Did you watch that?
Yeah,
that
was like neat. Said something about he always needs to buy new clothes.
Yeah, because the guys shoot him up and it's whatever. But I hope they. Are there any? I haven't heard anything. Like, I hope they do a Punisher. Like, I would totally watch that if they just did a regular Punisher, you know, standalone.
Yeah, because Punisher wouldn't be necessarily like in the Defenders, right? Like,
no, I don't think so.
Because he's still an outsider, you know?
Yeah. But I thought he was so interesting. Maybe
you probably haven't heard about it because they're probably keeping it way under wraps and then they're just going to be like, all right.
Maybe. Boom. I hope it just... Well, Punisher. I was surprised that Luke Cage thing comes out in September, which is actually not that far off. It's only a few months away.
It's not even that long, yeah.
Yeah, it's like West Street.
But they like went, think about it too, like we had Daredevil last year, and then all of a sudden, like, we didn't have to wait that long, then it was Jessica Jones, and then all of a sudden we had Daredevil season two. It's like, as soon as you like start to forget about it, they're like, here's a new season to watch.
Yeah, they're churning this shit out, and then there's going to be Iron Fist, and then there's, you know, it's going to keep going. But so I hope they squeeze Punisher in there, because I mean, I don't know how popular he was with other people, but I thought he was amazing.
And I 1000% recommend / have no regrets about slowly taking my time and watching one episode a day, even instead of like barreling through it like I always do, missing a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, we watched like two at a time. That's what Rachel and I did, and not even like one, like every day we would.
Be like, I guess we could watch Daredevil.
Yeah, that was basically what we did.
Yeah.
Because last night we were like, what are you going to watch? I said, we should finish Daredevil. And she's like, yeah, good idea. So like, yeah, you just kind of like squeeze them in when you have a chance.
It's real tempting to watch them all at once. It's real tempting.
I know, but I've never been a fan of that for any show for that matter. I feel like you got to take your time a little.
House of Cards, I can't stop watching it. Like, I like want to like leave work early and like go home and finish it.
Well,
that it just has it's like potato chips. It's just so salty. I just like need to have it. But Daredevil is like the same thing. Like I love it so much. that I want to take my time.
Yeah, delayed gratification.
Yeah.
Can I ask you this, though? Do you quite understand the black sky thing? I was a little lost on that. So is the idea that Elektra is supposed to lead the hand into, like, taking over the world or something?
Something like she's the ultimate weapon, right? So she's like...
Right.
I don't exactly understand it in a way that I could explain, but I think I've kind of understood while I was watching it.
I mean, I get it, but at the same time, when I think
she doesn't have, like, superpowers, really. She has...
But maybe there's something that we don't know about yet, because they put her in that stone thing.
Yeah.
And then she'll obviously be back.
And did you ever read, like, any of that Daredevil, Elektra, Frank Miller stuff?
No, I don't think I ever did. I read...
Yeah, so, like, Daredevil... Stuff. I mean, Elektra definitely dies and then comes back to life. So
yeah.
That is a known thing that happens.
Well, so, I feel like she's probably died a couple times.
Yeah.
It's one of those characters that... I don't know that for a fact. I've never read any Elektra either, but that's something else I think I might pick up a trade or something.
But Daredevil, like, I mean, I have the Elektra Saga, actually. You can borrow it.
Oh, very well.
It's really good because it's like that old school Frank Miller, like Dark Knight Returns artwork, you know? But it's Elektra. It's really good, you know? Klaus Janson's on the ink. But it's like a lot about the stuff that they did in this season, too, you know? Like where, like, you know, she comes back into his life and then, like, all the stuff that happens and she's like part of the hand, you know?
Right.
Already part of the hand, really.
Yeah. So. Well, I like what they did in the show as far as she was just the way, I don't know, like the way that they brought her, like, in and everything. I thought it was.
Like the whole thing was Stick, like, protecting her from herself. Yeah. Like the whole time. It was so great.
Oh, yeah. It was great.
I love Stick.
Stick is great. I love, Scott Glenn as Stick is pretty funny.
Where do we know him from?
What?
Where do we know him from?
I don't know. He was in The Right Stuff. He was in Backdraft. He's been in, I don't know, he's been in movies a long time. He was in, I think he was in Silence of the Lambs, right? He was her boss.
Okay, yeah.
He's been around a long time. So Foggy is going to go to work for, what's her name, Carrie Ann Moss.
Yes.
Jessica Jones. What's up with that? That was a surprise. I didn't even think of that. Like, when I'm like, oh, he's a lawyer, she's a lawyer. It never dawned on me, you know? Like.
Yeah.
So that's pretty awesome.
Murdoch, no more.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure they'll be back. But, like, hey, how cool is it that, like, this is how they're going to integrate Jessica Jones and Daredevil? Like, is this the first? This is sort of like at the end of the first Iron Man, you know, when they first, like, introduced that, there could be a, you know, a team up, even though we knew it, you know, but, like, this is pretty cool.
Well, and they did have in this, yes, you're right, but they did also have the, like, Night Nurse say, like, well, I have this other friend. You wouldn't believe what he could do.
Right. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Couple little crossover hits, things with Night Nurse, too. But yeah, you're right. I mean, it's going to be great.
Yeah. I love it. It's
Rosie O'Dawson.
Rosie O'Dario or whatever he said. So totes watch Daredevil if you haven't done that yet.
And since I just watched season one before I watched that, I think I'll probably just go back and watch it again. So good.
I think season two is better. I was nervous, too, because it's not the same. They got, like, two different people that actually run the show than what's his name? Steven DeKnight.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was out in this season. I was like, oh, I don't know. That's always a bad move. But this season was even better.
It's funny, too, because if you talk about, like, showrunners and stuff, like, they release it all at once. So there's got to be, like, a consistency to it. You know, it's not like in the middle of Battlestar Galactica when they, like, take, 10 months off for the writer's strike. You know,
right? I know. Well, maybe that's good. That's how they're able to push them out so quick. Like every few months, they just have a new series. But I'm just going to say this, and I know I probably said this before, but every episode that has the Kingpin on it is immediately like awesome in my book.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
He is so good. Vincent D'Onofrio is so good. He's so awesome as the Kingpin. Like, they write him so well, too, but like, he's just amazing. Like, every scene he's in is just like, you can't take your eyes off. It's amazing. That guy should win an Emmy. I mean, you know, they never, shows like this will never get nominated for any kind of award, but he really is awesome. So I hope he's in it some more. Give him his own thing too. I don't care. I mean, they won't, but
right.
He's so awesome. He's such a great character. So I don't know. What else you got? You got anything else?
I read the, one book that I just bought because it's so silly. The Coming of the Superman. Neil Adams writing this ridiculous thing. Remember when I was saying that like he did that Batman Odyssey book?
This is his
Superman version. And just what the hell? Like, it doesn't make any sense. He's fighting Kal-El back in Darkseid. There's all these, like, they're not clones. Just other, like, there's just like 100 other Supermen. Like, with different haircuts.
Oh, my God.
It is, like, so far from any sort of continuity that it's its own thing. It's so weird. There's DC characters in it. Lex is in it. You know, Neil Adams obviously can draw Lex and Superman and everything. Like,
sure.
In the way that he, you know, in his style. You know, like, he's a DC guy. But,
yeah.
Man, this story just... it doesn't make any sense. It's almost, if it wasn't Neil Adams, it would just be insulting. But since it's Neil Adams, I'm just like, you're crazy. Give me some.
Yeah, I mean, that's.
So I pick it up. I'm just like, you're crazy.
He is a crazy old man.
Like, he is so nuts. But other than that, I got Darth Vader number 19.
Oh, yeah.
Wrapped up this little storyline, I guess.
Yeah, I'm not sad to see this one wrapped up. I never really gave much of a... I didn't really care too much for, like, this planet that we don't really...
Yeah, the mining planet.
Yeah, this orb planet, whatever. And I kind of lost track over, like, who is revolting against who or whatever.
I don't know if they're dark side Jedis or whatever, they fight each other, brother and sister or something.
Ninja, yeah.
I don't know what the deal was with them, but... Yeah. They don't last too long, so...
No. I know. I mean, it's still good, but it's not as good as when, like, he's actually fighting with, like, rebels and stuff. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
this is kind of, like, has, like, a prequel vibe to it. It's, like, kind of like, oh, we're in the ore planet.
Yeah.
Figuring out how we're going to...
Like Naboo.
How,
like,
the Regency is going to deal with the ore interest over the next 6 months and speculation on the ore finances.
I know.
It's like, whatever. What are you guys talking about?
Yeah, like, where's Luke Skywalker?
Yeah. Although I do enjoy, I enjoy the art. The Roca art. I enjoy the creative team. I like 000. But so if we can get back to something a little bit more normal next time, that wouldn't be sad. Yeah.
That would be fine.
The Emperor.
Still,
like I
said, it's still good. It's just not as good when he's not, you know. Yeah. And I'm not that interested in this other weird ore planet thing.
And 000 and the other, you know, his R2 unit there.
BT something.
Yeah. They're the best. I mean, they just are
pretty
make this,
funny.
They make this story so good. They should have like a 000, like how he became so evil one shot and have Tony Robinson and Tony Harris.
There you go. Too. Get on that.
But yeah, I mean,
Tony's on there.
They make this book really something special. It's awesome. It's like, oh, look, the droid can be exactly like we know him to be, like kind of annoying and bossy, but then it's just like, oh, I'm going to poison all of you flesh eaters and suck the blood out of you.
I know, he's like, we're going to suck your blood.
So that was the most entertaining part of this issue, actually.
I agree, yes. All he wants to do is suck the blood out of humans. It is pretty fun. And but I think next issue we're going to get back to like Dr. Aphra and all that bullshit. So I don't mean bullshit in a bad way. I mean good way. Yeah. So I'm excited.
Cool art, cool cover.
Yeah.
Pretty good story, but just let's move it along.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. You can't have him fight Luke Skywalker every issue, but...
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
I actually, if I think back, I was thinking, like, ooh, like... And I knew Dark Horse did a lot of Darth Vader comics, and I read a few of them, but I was like, ooh, that's interesting. They're just going to give him a solo book. Like, he's a bad guy.
I know. Like,
that's cool.
But it's one of my favorite books, really, consistently.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
can't go wrong with Gillen and LaRocca on that.
That's right. I know.
Even when they do flashbacks to like young Annie in the prequel or whatever, like it's still good. It's good art.
I agree. Yeah, no, it's great.
Can't deny the prequels now.
Well, well, I never denied them. I just didn't think they were all that great.
Yeah,
but but no, I you know, yeah, the storyline is part of the thing. I get it, but. No, I'm pleased. I'm actually nervous. Every time I'm always like, oh my god, is it still LaRocca? Oh, okay, good. Like,
yeah.
Still Salvador LaRocca on the art. That's good.
Yep.
So, well,
you know, it's kind of obvious to big fans of the, but like when he was on Iron Man with Matt Fraction, that was like, that really made me really excited about comics. I was like, ooh, this is cool. This is like the movie. Like, this, the art is consistent and the attitude is consistent. I like it.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, somebody, I read on the letters page of the last Iron Man book that they were complaining. It's like, he's just too much like Robert Downey Jr. And we're like, they were just like, well, this is how we're choosing to write him now.
Yeah, but I actually like that. You know,
I do too. I think it's great.
I think it's a good way to update the character without changing anything, really, you know. And Bendis could write that Iron Man too, which is awesome.
Right,
I'm digging it. You know.
Oh, I want to talk about this really quick because speaking of Iron Man, so I buy Hercules, which is actually a pretty funny book. So this issue, they just finished like a story arc. Well, it's kind of in the middle of a story arc, but they just fought this huge villain and defeated him, like this other god. Like, there are these new gods who are trying to take the place of the old gods, so trying to kill off like Hercules and his buddies, you know. Mm-hmm. So anyway, meanwhile, so like they all want to celebrate, like, we just defeated this guy, it's awesome. But Hercules, after like literally centuries of just partying, he's on the wagon now. He's like, no, I'm not gonna drink anymore, and you know, and all that stuff. So like, they all want to party, and like, oh, come on, man, just one drink, and I'm sure you understand what you know.
Oh yeah, he goes off the rails.
Well, yeah, but he's like, no, I can't. So he calls Iron Man, and he's like, Tony, like, how do I, you know, do this? And but Iron Man, like Tony Stark, kind of yells at him. He's like, dude, we have a saying in the Avengers where, like, somebody screws up, we call it pulling a Herc. It's like, just stop screwing up. And he's like, well, come on, like, I'm trying here, you know. He's like, well, whatever, just get your head on. And then he flies away or whatever. But it turns out that it wasn't really Iron Man. It was, like, the villain that he just defeated, like, posing as Iron Man, because the guy has, like, magical powers. But I thought it was interesting that they covered a little bit of sort of sobriety ground there in that one.
Yeah, no, that's cool.
Yeah.
Is that an issue 2?
It's issue 9 or something.
Oh, weird.
Hercules has been going on, man. Right? It's funny. It's good. It's, what's his name?
He's always been a funny book.
Yeah. It's a good,
because he kind of takes over that when Thor was like kind of like the funny like fish out of water god, like
stuff
when, like
Straczynski and whatever.
Yeah, he fulfills that role now, because now now like the movies, it's more a little bit more like, you know, the actor and stuff for Thor.
Right. But well, Thor is a lady.
Oh yeah, yeah. But there's so many Thors.
Right, there's going to be Odinson probably soon too, but
I might check that out.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's a fun book. I've always liked it, but this issue especially was kind of, because it was different. It wasn't like him fighting a bad guy. He was kind of depressed, and he was like, "I want to have fun," and you know, like party with my boys, but
right.
I gotta stay on the wagon, you know. I gotta stay sober.
Right out.
Yeah. So it's interesting.
Cool.
Yeah, we'll see. Anyway, that's all I got.
Very well.
But we had a good comic book podcast here today.
We did.
Yeah. All right.
Wow. Amazing.
Yeah. About
we
that.
We did talk about TV and stuff.
Yeah, we did talk about TV. Talked
in
about
your bed or whatever.
Oh, we never really talked about the bed on the podcast.
Oh, we didn't. Darcy got a new bed.
Spoiler I got a new warning. Bed. It's amazing.
Spoiler warning.
Yeah. It is pretty funny. You walk around. It's like buying a car. You walk around. You test them all out.
Hey, got a new bed.
And I bet this lady, I mean, she obviously, she has you lay on the one that's basically like a block of wood first so that everything feels good after that.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So try this mattress out. And it's basically, it's like hard as a rock.
Yeah. How does it compare to the concrete Tron?
Go out and lay on the sidewalk. And then come in here and lay on these beds.
Yeah.
But whatever. It worked. I'm going to have a nice, healthy back. And it's going to be great.
Be well. Very well.
Be well. So, yeah. All right, everybody. Enjoy the marathon tomorrow. Tomorrow is Marathon Monday.
And enjoy PAX if you go in this weekend. And be sure to come by our show with the Proto Man on Monday the 25th. If you're at PAX and you like video game music, Mega Ran will be there as well. So that's at the Middle East.
That's at the Middle East on the 25th.
Very and well. We're going to have, actually, just breaking news. We're going to have console video games set up there for people to free play.
What?
All sorts of video games, yeah.
Video games.
So if you like video games, which you do.
Yes, that's right.
Then come on by.
Which you don't, which you aren't, if you're listening. But you know, if you do like video games, which you do, yeah, do that. That's PAX East. That came up fast, didn't it?
Yeah, it's here already. Before we know it, we'll be at Boston Comic Con again.
Yeah, August, was it 12th to the 14th, right?
Yeah, they just posted it, and then they posted the Boston Comic Con on Facebook. They just posted their info about the Fenway Park night with William Shatner, Boston Comic Con Star Trek theme night, or whatever. I don't know if you get a phaser when you get there or something.
Do you beam into the park?
Yeah, you have to beam into the park.
Oh, all right. Well, that'll be exciting.
But with my luck, they beam me right into the bleachers.
Right
behind. There's like these seats in the bleachers that are right behind the scoreboard videos.
Yes. Yeah, I haven't sat up there since I was like a little kid. But
they beam me right there. You're like, oh, cool. You get to beam and you get to go to Fenway Park, two of your favorite things in the world. And then it'd be like obstructive view. The only one in the park.
Behind the fat guy from Abington.
Yeah.
The creepy fat guy who sells you stink bombs.
Stink bombs.
Oh,
ask
God.
Brom about the fat guy. He'll
I will. Next time I talk to him, I'll ask him about the fat guy.
Very well.
All right. Well, thanks for coming. Thanks. Good talking to you, Clay.
Good to talk to you.
Talk to you soon.
Later. Adios, assholes.
I wish I was the moon. I'm so tired, and I wish I was the moon tonight.
Get to the good bread.